Hey friends, welcome to episode 178 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and starting a new concept, something new. I don't know how often it will be a feature here on My 1-2-3 Cents, but I haven't thought that far in advance, but I have already lined up some other guests, additional guests for Superfan, and this week I talked to Barry Carafa from Cape Championship Wrestling, who is an all-around good dude. I really... probably about a year ago, I met Barry for the first time at Cape Championship Wrestling's Super Show. He is a friend of, a very good friend of our favorite referee, Lane Austin. And we've kind of bonded and met and gone out to dinner. He's come to several Stride shows. And I value his friendship. And I think that he has a lot of good insight into the world of professional wrestling, the business side of things, and he's doing some good things over there with Cape Championship Wrestling. So I appreciate him taking some time to talk to me about his all-time favorite, who is Rowdy Roddy Piper. I loved Hot Rod too, but you know, in those early days, I was a Hulkamaniac, and Barry and I get into all of that and pretty much spend almost an hour talking about the life and times of Rowdy Roddy Piper. Barry has an excellent story. Please listen and hear that story, something that he has that he treasures from Rowdy Roddy Piper that I am thankful that he shares that story with us here on My 1-2-3 Cents. I mentioned Stride Pro Wrestling, of course. We've had several fundraiser events and another one coming up on May 5th. The location is to be determined, hopefully, after this podcast drops. We'll have a confirmation on that, so be sure to check out the Stride Pro Wrestling page. Over the weekend, though, big show going on in Mount Vernon. More than 400 people attended, more than $2,500 raised for the Youth Build program. James Ellsworth, by the way, was on that show. Got to talk with James after the event. What a great guy. Really a great guy. Got some stories about WWE from him, and I enjoyed every second that we were able to spend, and the fact that he came in and was not, an overconfident, cocky prick. He was down to earth, genuine, and just shared some great stories and had some great matches Saturday night. The blog write up at my123cents.com. You can check out all the details. There is a new champion in Jay Spade. He defeated Tony Flood, who he dropped the title last week to Tony. So, congratulations to Jay Spade. Also wanted to mention new tag team champions in the form of the Midwest Monster Hunters, a new team to Stride Pro Wrestling, actually making their tag team debut. It's Jason Tiller and Bo Sawyer. So those guys, two big behemoths for sure. They won an elimination match, beating Heath Hatton and Axe Allward, of course, who were the champions. Also in that match was Aaron Brooks and Joey O'Reilly. Joey O'Reilly turning on Brooks and leaving Stride Pro Wrestling right after that. So not exactly sure what's going on with Joey's mindset. Of course, he very recently appeared on an episode of 205 Live. Congratulations to Joey on that. Condoning what he did to his partner and friend Aaron Brooks by any means. The DR Party also involved in that elimination match. But again, check out my123cents.com. I made my refereeing debut. Roger Mathis taking on Cash Borden. Called the match fair. I called it even Steven, even though Roger has had some issues with me over the past few months. I made a two count. He didn't like it. He put his hands on me, so I reacted probably not appropriately, but I kicked him in the groin. And Cash took advantage of that, kicked Roger in the head then, and I made the three count. Some may say it was fast. It probably was a little fast, but I basically, Roger says I talk trash about him. I've not talked trash about Roger on this podcast. I've been supportive of him, but I've had enough. And full disclosure, I'm tired of it. And something needed to be done. And hopefully, they say the best way to handle a bully is to handle him by fighting back. And so hopefully by me asserting myself there, this issue is over and we can move on to the May 5th show that I'm looking very forward to coming up. And also coming up on the Positive Cynicism podcast with my buddy Chad Smart. He had me on as a guest on his Question Everything segment. I appreciate that opportunity. We talk a lot about pro wrestling, about branding. It's not just a pro wrestling podcast by any means. So check that out. It will drop on the Positive Cynicism Facebook page, as well as Chad's Twitter account, which is at Chad Smart. And of course, it's all under the Jittery Monkey umbrella, Jittery Monkey Podcasting Group with Greg Mahochko. I appreciate still, three and a half years later, Greg inviting me to be a part of this wonderful podcasting network. Chad and I also talk about some of our other favorite podcasts, including our friends over at, or Chad's never met them, but my friends over at Podzilla 1985, Shannon and Allie and Asa and Dalton. We also shout out to them during the course of the interview with Barry. So thank you guys for your support, not only of my 1-2-3 cents and my personal endeavors, but also Stride Pro Wrestling. You guys do an amazing job over there and in Cape Girardeau with Cape Championship Wrestling and with the podcast that you guys crank out, four different podcasts every week. So Podzilla 1985. Of course, I need to shout out my friends Tom and Jim on Tom and Jim's Top 5. Those guys are doing great things. I love the format. I love what they do. So keep up the good work over there at on Podbean. You can check out Tom and Jim's Top 5. Also on Podbean, you can get caught up to Skullbuster Wrestlecast. Tom Skull and his brother Jason Skull had me on not too very long ago. So if you haven't listened to that one, check it out. But check out all their shows. And, you know, on Chad's Positive Cynicism show, we talk about opinions, not just with life in general, but in professional wrestling. And you know what? Tom and Jason shared some opinions about WrestleMania that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I don't invalidate that. I value what they have to say, and I think that society needs more of that. We need to have conversations where we don't necessarily agree with the other side, but we can listen and hear that point of view and not just listen to react. So Chad and I get more into that in the Positive Cynicism Question Everything interview. So be sure, again, to check that out. Greg Mahochko shows Nerds United, which Tom Skull is on the latest Nerds United show as well. And then, of course, the Five Heart podcast about Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. So I've rambled enough here. Be sure, though, if you don't mind, head on over to whatever you're listening to this show on, whether it's Podbean, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, or Jittery Monkey itself. Leave a comment, rate it, review it. If it's one star, give it one star. If it's five stars, give it five stars. Let me know what you think of the content here. I am tweaking things. I'm making some changes gradually, and hopefully you're noticing that. I want your voice to be heard here as well. It's not just my 1-2-3 cents. It's your 1-2-3 cents as well. Everyone, thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for Barry Carafa.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Everyone, as promised, the guest this week is Barry Carafa. He is with Cape Championship Wrestling and a longtime, obviously, I think you have to be to get involved in the wrestling business, a longtime fan of pro wrestling. We're going to be talking about Rowdy Roddy Piper a little later, but first, Barry, welcome to the show.
Kevin, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this. Been able to spend some time with you at the Stride shows and something we've talked about. I'm glad we're able to actually get together and get to talk about Hot Rod and also talk about what's going on in Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I am going to be making the trip over. I haven't actually been to a CCW show since last year's Super Show. I'm trying to change that in 2018, but this year we'll be heading back. So Cape Championship Wrestling, tell us a little bit about Cape Championship Wrestling for folks who maybe don't remember or are first-time listeners to the show.
Okay, well, Cape Championship Wrestling is obviously centered in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Some of the same stars of a lot of your audiences, probably a lot of the Stride come from the Stride area, as well as some that make the trip over from Cape to the Stride shows, as I try to every opportunity I get. Started off as a just a let's see what happens, and it's grown over the last year and a half to where we're now we have somewhat of a partnership with Ring of Honor. As far as, you know, we're sponsoring their shows, they're bringing people in to our shows, and we're going to see where that goes from there. And we're really excited about what's going on. And as far as you saying, you know, that you haven't been, well, you've picked a great show to come back to. So a lot of stuff going on next Saturday.
And talk a little bit more about that, because you guys, you always bring in someone that the fans will be familiar with. You know, you've had James Ellsworth, Matt Hardy has been there, Jeff Hardy's been there as a musical guest. But Super Show, obviously it has the name Super Show for a reason. This is almost, I guess for lack of a better phrase, this is CCW's WrestleMania weekend, so to speak.
No, absolutely. That's kind of how we look at it. This is our WrestleMania. We want to make sure that in addition to the superstars that we have on our roster already, that we're kind of blowing up a little bit. We work with Comic-Con over the weekend. Just kind of make a big full 3-day deal out of it, kind of like what WrestleMania does, but this is in Cape Girardeau, so. You know, you've got Comic-Con going on during the day. You have a wrestling show at night. And then on Sunday morning, we'll have an open panel with all of the CCW superstars, kind of like a press conference of sorts where the fans can come and ask all of the talent, the superstars, and the management will be available as well for if they want to criticize us or ask questions or anything like that. So, we try to make a big weekend out of it and really make it worth the travel for some of the fans that maybe as yourself, you know, that the Super Show is a show you don't want to miss. So obviously there's a reason why you came last year and then you're coming back again this year, because you know, last year there were some surprises yeah. that you weren't anticipating. And I promise you there'll be some more just like that this year as well, in addition to what we've already announced. So,
and let's talk about that. What is, and for folks who want to know more about it, capewrestling.com is the website. They're also all over Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. They have a show on YouTube.
Championship Wrestling on Facebook. You can go to my page, Barry James Carafa, Jason Wells, Lee Montgomery's, and you can there's usually stuff that we've posted. So if you go there and they'll give you a link to the Take a Star page, some of the stuff I post just on my page, like the other night I did an interview with face to face with Roger, which he told me, like you asked me earlier, the proper pronunciation of my last name, his spelling, it's Mathis. He corrected and said, it's actually Matthias. He said, I just never really cared enough to correct anyone because, I let my fists do the talking, so they can call me what they want as long as they get it right on the check. So anyway,
wow.
Go to my page. You can see that I had a face-to-face, like a FaceTime interview with Roger the other night, and that's on my Facebook page. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to reach us if you want to learn more about Cape Championship Wrestling. Just scroll around Facebook, and you'll be able to find quite a bit of information.
And you can catch up on matches if you haven't been able to see some of the action. CCW is also on YouTube, and some great shows, a great team over there working together, as you said, to, you know, for so long, this area, and I lump Southern Illinois and Southeast Missouri kind of together, there was nothing for wrestling fans. We'd have to wait for WWE, maybe TNA to come into town, but it didn't happen very often. And now fans have two options with, CCW running shows, Stride Pro Wrestling running shows. And the beauty of it is we're able to run on different weekends, so we can make a trip to Cape, or you guys can make the trip over here to Illinois.
That's exactly, I was just going to mention that as you were talking. It's good that we're able to communicate with Tyler and work out to where we're not competing against each other. We're actually working together. That's my goal. Is for us to have a working relationship where our fans don't have to pick. They don't have to pick a side.
Yeah,
they're able to go and enjoy a weekend in Illinois, and they're also able to come over and check out Cage Championship Wrestling. And that's what I'm hoping for. That you know, some of the faces that I see at the Stride shows, I would love to see at some of our Cage shows. And I think for so long we waited for WWE, like in Cape Girardeau, they used to run, you know, maybe once or twice a year. And then there was a little spell where there was like 5 years and we didn't see WWE in Cape. So there wasn't anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what started this firestorm. And then TNA came in, and with Missouri having a little more, the Missouri Athletic Commission is a little more strict as some of our surrounding states with, you know, with the rules and regulations. TNA visited one time, and I think 2/3 of the roster wasn't able to perform because of issues with blood work, et cetera. So that was their last run through. So I'm excited for some of these guys that are affiliated with some other organizations to come in and see what's, you know, to see the fire, that the passion that these independent fans have in Southern Illinois and Cape Girardeau. And hopefully that prompts them to bring their product to our area more often as well. But I really do believe that's what's ignited this fire in the last year and a half that we've seen with the independent wrestling, with Stride and Cage Championship Wrestling.
Well said. And Barry, the show is coming up Saturday night, April 21st at the AC Braze Arena in Cape Girardeau. Bell time is 6:30. Run down the card. Let us know who is going to be appearing that night.
Absolutely. The doors will open at 5:30. So, we will be opening up an hour early. There is an opportunity to get early access. If you go to capewrestling.com, there's actually a limited amount. The Bullet Club is invading Super Show right from the beginning.
Wow.
Hangman Adam Page will be there to do photo ops, and that's limited to a very specific number of people, and there's only a few openings left. So that's one way to gain early access. Other than that, the doors will be open at 5:30. The majority of our talent, and even our superstars, you know, bigger names, for lack of a better term, that are coming in, will also be available and have their tables set up. So you'll get some opportunities there. So let's just to hit the card. Some of these names, some of the Stride fans are going to find familiar. I'm going to kind of go backwards, and I don't mean backwards like as far as. The first match I'm mentioning is the least important. I'm just working my way to the main event here.
Sure.
So we have a number one contenders match for the CCW Tag Team Championship. This is actually a four-way dance with the LA Hustlers. They are a staple in CCW and are from Arkansas. They're well-known out in Arkansas. And actually, I think they were on the documentary Wrestling with Death that was on a few years ago. The Crowleys. Casey's Finest, a couple guys out of Kansas City. The Crowleys are, for lack of a better term, our version of the Wyatt family.
Okay.
They're kind of creepy. They come out with hog masks, and they're fan favorites. They're over with the crowd. And then last but not least, here's one that I'm excited about. Joey O'Reilly will be making his debut in CCW.
Awesome.
And a Stride regular. And he will be tagging with Baracus, well known from St. Louis, former Missouri champion. So Power and Glory is what I've been calling him, you know, in our meetings, because you got Joey and then you got Baracus, who's probably the biggest guy in our card. So that's just the first match that we mentioned. And then we have the a six-man tag match that will feature the Pinnacle, which is our the thorn in my side and the rest of management's side at CCW. They will have Roger Mathias, Van Horn, and one of our stars, Blaster. Van Horn is actually, for some of our listeners, if they want to Google, he's been around for a long time. He was back in the Wrestling Challenge days. He had some matches against the One Man Gang and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh wow!
In his early days, you'll see the outcomes of the match. You could see that he was in the beginning of his career, but he was really. I research everything. So I looked him up, and he was ranked pretty high On a scale of 1 to 10, he was given a 7 as a performer because of his ability to work with the one man gang and Greg Valentine, despite the outcome of the matches. So that's one half of the 6-man. The other half is Sarge O'Reilly, Memphis Dyersburg legend, UFC legend Dan the Beast Severn, UFC Hall of Famer, 2-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, third longest reigning champion in NWA history, and a mystery partner. So if Dan Severn is the announced one, the mystery partner should be pretty interesting.
That's going to be big.
Yes, if we're announcing Dan and then there's a mystery partner, I'm pretty excited to find out. There's a lot of things when Jason does the booking for these things, I said, just tell me what I need to know.
Right.
As far as like dollars and cents and those kinds of things. But I like to be surprised as much as everyone else. So I'm looking forward to see how that's going to turn out. Another match that we're going to have is another pinnacle match. Jeff O'Dell will have his tag team champions, Hollis Giroux and Damone Saladino, also known as the Nephilim, will be against Mikey McFinnigan and Marco Stunt.
Nice.
So I don't know if anyone is familiar with them, but Google Marco Stunt, Google Mikey. Mikey's been traveling all over the United States. Marco he looks like a 12-year-old in the face. You would think that he was a kid in the crowd, but he's a high flyer. He's all over the place.
He is no really Nicholas. He is no Nicholas.
Exactly. Yeah, he is no Nicholas. He does not have to go back to school. I think he's actually old enough to consume alcoholic beverages, although when he goes places, they probably card him and still wonder if it's a fake ID. Because he really does. He looks like a kid.
He does.
So that's for the CCW Tag Team Championship. The CCW Women's Championship will be on the line. Reoccurring theme, Jeff O'Dell once again involved with a member of the Pinnacle, the champion, will be facing Mardi Gras, a former and the first ever CCW Women's Champion, Sarah Summers, which I'm sure that a lot of the Stride fans are familiar with. And last but definitely not least, Thunder Rosa, who is also on Lucha Underground. She will be in that four-way match as well for the CCW Women's Championship. So she's another one of the stars that we're bringing in.
Very nice.
Then we have a match that's a stipulation. Our GM, former the KOK, something of kayfabe. Anyway, he was the former champion there, and he's our GM. He's been with us for a while. He and Justin Dierre and Justin the Juice Smart will be taking on Brandon SB Espinoza. And we're bringing in a very, very hot independent tag team right now, the besties in the world, Davey Vega and Matt Bitchite. The stipulation is if Osby's team does not win, he will lose his job as the GM of CCW.
Oh, wow.
So this has been it's been an ongoing feud where Osby and his group and the administration have pretty much been – Brandon's been fighting them by himself. And if anyone who knows Brandon Espinoza, he's literally been fighting them by himself and holding his own.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's bringing in a tag team like the besties in the world, this should be a very, very exciting match. And I think the cards are going to be stacked against Osby, and he's going to really have to fight to maintain his job. Going forward, we will have Stride, well-known as Stride, the Ace Hawkins, will be facing Jackson Crowley, who is actually the elder statesman of the Crowley family that I mentioned earlier. This feud actually started a year ago at our Super Show last year, and it's been ongoing, and Ace has brought in different people over the course of the year. The Crowleys have beaten them and dragged them from the ring, and we have yet to see them back at CCW, and so now Ace is all alone.
It's kind of
been a year coming. He'll bring people in, and now it's just Ace and Jackson. So this it's got the makings of this feud finally coming. It's taken a year. This feud finally coming to a head. Then we'll move on to Brandon Barbwire, former CCW champion. We'll be facing Del Tucker. And the Cowboy James Storm from Impact TNA will be the special referee for this match. Once again, Jeff O'Dell will be mentioned because the reason we brought in James Storm is to make sure that the Pinnacle does not get involved and these two finally get to have that one-on-one match that we've been trying to have for months. There's been shenanigans with the stipulation that if Brandon wins, Jeff O'Dell, for those of you who aren't familiar, he's a very vain, to say the least, very self-confident man, but his looks are important to him. He changes shirts and ties between each match he comes out to. So he brings a wardrobe.
And he's got a lot of guys, so he's in a lot of matches.
Absolutely. So he has his own people that he comes in, that come in and help get his hair ready before every match and make sure his suits are ready and his ties and everything's laid out so he can do his wardrobe change between matches. Well, if he loses, if Del Tucker loses his match, Brandon will be shaving Jeff O'Dell's head bald in the middle of the ring.
Nice.
There's not a suit or tie in the world that he can get that's going to help cover that up. So, Jeff's really putting a lot of trust into Del Tucker, which is an amazing athlete and amazing talent. So that has the potential to be a show stealer for sure. And then in our main event, this is one we're all very excited about. The CCW champion, Austin Lane, who recently has turned his back to the CCW crowd. He's kind of said he's going to let all of his talking take place in the ring. He will be facing ECW legend Tommy Dreamer for the CCW championship.
That's huge.
That is very huge. And also, it's very nerve-wracking for us because, Tommy doesn't live in Cape.
Yeah.
So if he wins our title, in one way it's great. It could be appearing at the House of Hardcore, but also he's going to have to come back and defend it. And there's just some concerns there. So
yeah.
Despite Austin's disposition, management's kind of pulling for him. But at the same time, we're so excited to have Tommy Dreamer come in. And if he were to win, talk about giving credibility to CCW.
Right.
Have Tommy Dreamer running around with the Cape Championship Wrestling title. So that's a biggie. And like I said before, there's going to be a lot of surprises, a lot of things that aren't mentioned on the card, and it's pretty stacked. It's going to be a fun night. There's going to be opportunities for everyone to meet all of the people on the roster, to get photo ops with all of these legends that are coming in, autographs. They'll have their tables set up. So it's really going to be a fun night and a fun weekend as well, with Comic-Con included. I think Lou Ferrigno is going to be at Comic-Con. So there's some people that'll be at Comic-Con that won't be at our super show. Tommy will be at Comic-Con on Saturday, and the Beast will be there. Dan Severn will be there on Sunday. So like I said, we're working with Comic-Con and trying to make this a big weekend for Cape Girardeau in general. Just one last thing I'll go over if people are interested in seats, what pricing is.
Sure.
Front row and second row are already sold out. They sold out the first night. General admission is $13, and those are third and fourth, third row seats in back. They're kind of first come, first serve. And then we do have bleacher seats that are available for only $7, which, in my opinion, and sometimes those are maybe the best seats in the house where you can see more, but you are a little bit further away from the action. So $13 or $7 is what we're looking at for admission to the event. For the meet and greet with Adam Page, admission is required. So you at least have to have a general admission or a bleacher ticket for that, which you can pre-order on capewrestling.com. You can go to the website and get all that taken care of before you show up. Just bring your ID with you, and we'll have your name on the list. So a lot of things going on in Cape Girardeau at our Super Show too. And a year ago, I wouldn't have imagined that this is where we were. Oh, and I've forgotten one of the other Ring of Honor will be in the house. Not only will Adam Page be there for the meet and greet, but he will be the general. He will be the acting general manager that night. Obviously, with Ozzie Tomlin having his position, the Cult of Kayfabe is what I was trying to think of earlier. That's
okay.
What it was. He was actually the Cult of Kayfabe they champion Osmond Tomlin was for some time. But so there's not a conflict of interest. We will have Adam Page as the acting general manager for our event, and Delirious, Ring of Honor legend, will also be there available for meet and greets and signatures as well at the Ring of Honor table. So
it's going to be a great weekend. Comic book nerds, pop culture kind of things. I am going to be going to the Cape Con portion of the day as well, and then heading over to the AC Brazzi Arena for Cape Championship Wrestling. So it's going to be a great time, and that's the beauty of
it. That was where I met you for the first time.
Yes.
It was last year at the Super Show.
Yes.
I mean, at Comic Con, that was the first time we were introduced to each other. And at that time, I was a fan sitting in the front row and just trying to do what I could to help CCW. And here we are a year later. I'm kind of spearheading the organization, and it's kind of funny how things happen, but I'm excited about where we're going with CCW. And I was excited to be a part of the Lane Austin benefit show last weekend. Once again, I want to thank Tyler, Heath Hatton, for allowing me to be a part of that. And, taking part in the show and also being able to present some free tickets to some folks there. So
yeah, we love you guys, and we appreciate the mutual respect and friendship from Cape Girardeau, Cape Championship Wrestling with Stride Pro Wrestling, and can't wait for next Saturday night. Again, it is, and the links and everything are in the write-up, so just head over to capewrestling.com or check out Cape Championship Wrestling CCW on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well.
And I would, and I'm sorry,
yeah.
I would feel like I forgot to say something if I did not mention the Podzilla guys, the Podzilla 1985.
Absolutely.
Unscripted, Shannon Young, Dalton Anthony, Asa Gray, they have really been the bridge between CCW and Stride. Their involvement with Stride is what caught my attention, and I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't know that there was another organization outside of Lane. I knew that's where Lane came from.
Sure.
And some of our other talent, but as a fan in my early days, without them, we may not be where we are as a company, but also I'm sure that Stride can say the same thing. They've been a big help. They've put us all over.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've supported us. They come to every show they're able to. And without them, many thank yous to Allie, Asa, Shannon, and Dalton. And I intentionally mentioned Dalton last.
So. Yeah, I love being able to talk to those guys when they are here. And, I know they'll be busy. You guys will all be busy next week with your show. But I do hope to catch up with you guys in person as well. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to the rest of our discussion, which is on one of the all-time greats in pro wrestling. And Barry, you and I are approximately the same age, and so much so that part of the reason why we're doing this podcast is you have a birthday this week, and you share it with the subject of today's discussion, Rowdy Piper. Now, when I was a kid, I was a Hulkamaniac. I loved to boo and hate on Rowdy Roddy Piper. But as I got older, obviously the appreciation grew, and I can look back, and I think he's even said it before he died, that there's been an argument amongst wrestling fans. Hulk Hogan was, of course, great, but without that foil, without that opponent, would he have been as great? Because there were lots of great names out there, but I think Rowdy Roddy Piper for the WWF in that time period was absolutely perfect in that role.
Oh, absolutely. As a child, and it's concerning to a point, because I noticed with my son, he gravitates towards the villains, the Boba Fetts and the Venoms and, the bad guys. But for some reason, when I was younger, Roddy Piper really resonated with me. And, I moved around a lot. I was a loner as a kid. I was always the new kid in school. But I was always the one who would speak what was ever. I didn't have a filter. And that may have had a lot to do with why I was somewhat lonely at times. But Roddy Piper resonated with me. And I was the antithesis of what you spoke of, the Hulkamaniac. You were the kid that I was like, come on, man, that's what everybody likes Hulk Hogan. I would literally get angry at the fact that Hulk Hogan, when he did his little comeback thing. Do you recall the War to Settle the Score?
I do.
That was on MTV. I remember crying when the match finished in a disqualification because I wanted Roddy Piper to beat Hulk Hogan so bad and be the world champion. And I won't share what my age was at that time, but I'll be 44 on April 17th, which is the same day that Roddy Piper was born, which I didn't find that out until later in life, which was always kind of, it was kind of cool to find out. And people that are into astronomy, I don't know, that may tell why he and I are kind of kindred spirits, and I kind of gravitated towards him. But I always saw a lot of him in myself. Even with, you know, what he did with Jimmy Snuka, and he was just a perfect foil for Hulk Hogan to come in and shut the mouth of the guy whose mouth couldn't be shut up. And I still don't think he shut it, but he got close. You know, he did what no one else could, and I think that's what elevated Hogan to the next level. So in some ways, I hold Roddy Piper responsible for Hulk Hogan's success. Yeah. So a little bitterness there, but otherwise, Roddy Piper has always been my in some ways, it's sad to say, but he was like the role model or the dad that I needed, because I saw him act and I saw him say what was on his mind, and I saw him as a person that you realize, you know, you don't have to go along with the system. You can speak up, and everyone's not going to like it, and sometimes people aren't going to understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. I can relate to that as well. There's things that Piper did that I still scratch my head to this day. And I don't know that anyone in the WWF, WWE organization really knew what was on his mind coming out to the ring painted half black against Bad News Brown, for instance. You know, I still haven't figured that one out.
Sure.
But, I was fortunate enough the year before he passed away. As I got, like you said, as I got older, I started to see Roddy Piper, not just as Roddy Piper, the character, but as Roderick Toombs, the father. And I was able to reach out to him a couple times and have some back and forths, and then listen to his podcast and kind of listen. That was Roderick Toombs on the podcast, and mm-hmm. the influence he had on Ronda Rousey. I was fortunate enough to get a Christmas card from Roddy Piper.
Wow.
Which was his last Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, it was an autographed card on one side, but on the back, it was he sent me a personal note, and it's something I've kept, and it was really handy. I have it. It's not Christmas time. I have it in my hand right now. And it says, to Barry, wishing you a rowdy holiday season. But then in quotes, he put, hug the ones you love. And that's kind of been a mantra that I've tried to keep in mind. And it kind of told me a little bit of who he was as a father. Being on the road and being away from his family, he realized that every moment he had with his kids was important, and to make sure that you hug the ones that you love, because it's that feeling, that embracement, that really lets them know more so than just saying the words. And, you know, he didn't have to write that. He could have just said, "Hey, Barry, Merry Christmas," stuck it in the mail. But, you know, he took the time to add a little something extra to that. And that's something that stayed with me for years. And I feel fortunate to have this, you know, his last Christmas.
I literally got goosebumps listening to that. That is amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. I still do. When I received it, I was giddy. And then the other day, I was able to receive something from Kitty, his wife, obviously his widow. They have all the rights to a comic book that was being produced, Roddy Piper, The Monster Killer. Mm-hmm. It was a graphic novel. So it was limited distribution, and then when he passed away, they had all the rights to it. So I was able to have, Kitty sent me an email, and we were able to have a little back and forth with her and tell her how much that not only he meant to me as a child, as a character, but, you know, reading his book and being able to be in contact with him from time to time and getting this Christmas card, how much it really meant to me as a father, and that my heart is always with them, especially on my birthday. I'll usually send them a message or an email and say, "Hey, I know what today is, and I know this is, it's got to be hard for the family. And I just want you to know that there's other people out here that you're your husband, and that to his children, that your father has touched, it affects us. It affects me, and I'm sure many others as well." So my birthday, usually what I try to do is, like last year, I had a bottle of the all out of bubblegum soda.
Uh-huh.
That was sent for me from Roddy Piper, along with the Christmas card. And he signed that with his Hall of Fame thing. And that was an awesome surprise. So last year on our birthday, I had never opened it. I opened it up, poured two glasses. One was for me, one was for Hot Rod, and I took a picture and I sent that to his daughter and said, thinking of your father today on this birthday. I'm sure it's, you know, it's tough for you and your family as well. And so she, you know, she replied back, and it's just, I could go on as I am about Rowdy Piper for a long time. And he really meant a lot.
Yeah. Barry, I didn't know some of those things. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome for me. You know, it's a gift. It's, you know, I didn't do anything to earn any of this. It just kind of worked out like it did. And to find out you have a birthday the same day, and they sent me a copy of that. I was talking about the graphic novel. They sent me a copy of that. His son actually autographed the front of it, since unfortunately Hot Rod isn't around anymore. But I'm also a hoarder and a collector of things. So I have probably over 50 different Roddy Piper items of memorabilia. I recently purchased an autographed boxing glove from Roddy Piper that was certified, obviously, mm-hmm. and signed prior to his passing. My wife, you know, she's on me about some of that stuff, but it's I don't know. It makes me happy to know that I have those things.
Yeah.
You know, he was my hero. You know, he was a big hero of mine. And
so, you know, obviously when we were kids, and by kids, I'm talking now, we're probably venturing into those teenage years. You know, Piper had been the most hated guy, and then all of a sudden, an incident with adorable Adrian Adonis flipped the switch, and he became one of the most beloved. Were you more of a, you know, and he pretty much stayed a good guy then from there on out. But were you? We loved the heel work, obviously. But what were your thoughts when he did switch and become a good guy?
Well, it's really, if you analyze Roddy Piper, there were some things that he did were dastardly,
uh-huh.
but for the majority of the time, he just said what was on his mind.
Right.
Oftentimes what a lot of other people were thinking. In today's society, if you say what's on your mind, you're breaking that mold of conformity, and you're looked at, even though people may agree with you, you're looked at as somewhat of an anarchist and a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
When really he was being honest. So if you go back and look, even when he was a heel, a villain, the majority of that was just, wow, I can't believe he would say that. That's rude. He kind of stuck with that, even
yeah.
when he was a fan favorite. So I didn't like, oh, come on, you're a good guy now. I was even more excited because it was like, okay, so people are now going to embrace Roddy Piper for what he's always been. He just doesn't have to smash Captain Lou Albano with a record to get there over his head. And I was fortunate enough to actually be living in Detroit when that happened, WrestleMania 3, when he had his match with adorable Adrian Adonis, which was that's what his change from a villain to a hero took place.
Mm-hmm.
prior to WrestleMania 3, which was his retirement match, which we all know he would go on to wrestle hundreds and hundreds of times, but that moved into the movie They Live, where he was able to go and film that movie, in the Johnny Carpenter movie, one of my all-time favorites. It's funny how the world works. Not only am I a Roddy Piper fan, but I'm also a big fan of Henry Rollins. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Henry Rollins had a show, and he had a guest called Shepard Fairey, who is he was a graffiti artist, a graphic artist. He's probably best known for his Barack Obama poster of Hope.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. But his inspiration was Andre the Giant. And he kind of did it as a joke. And it was this: Andre the Giant has a posse.
Yes.
And so WWE lawyers got involved, so he couldn't use the name anymore. So he changed his logo to just a depiction of Andre's face, but put the word Obey under it. And that word was actually inspired from the movie They Live, where it's kind of a symbol of our day and age now. Of, you know, are we walking around with blinders? And the only way that they could really see what was going on in that movie is with the sunglasses. So
mm-hmm.
it's ironic how this circle of people that are inspirations in my life are all kind of connected. And the movie They Live is what inspired Shepard Fairey to start is the Obey movement, which has gone on to do a lot of other things. But the fact that Roddy Piper, you know, was involved in that, I actually have a picture of Roddy Piper and Henry Rollins together, and that's something I thought I would never see. They both did a voiceover for a cartoon, for a Green Lantern cartoon. They were both involved, and so I have a picture of the two of them together. So that's pretty cool as well.
But that's very cool. So there's always been, you know, a debate, especially with the online community, now that everybody can kind of interact and have these conversations, of who is the greatest to have never been WWF world champion. And, you know, Rowdy Piper, I think, is on the short list for a lot of people. I'm assuming he's at or near the top of your list for that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's without question.
Yeah.
But one thing about Roddy Piper that I've heard mentioned about some other talent currently, like in Ring of Honor, Marty Scurll, the villain.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from powers to be within that organization, it's a compliment to say you don't have to put a title on someone to get them over. And that's who Roddy Piper was. He didn't need that title to validate who he was. Do I wish he would have gotten an opportunity to carry that title? Absolutely. I think it would have solidified his legacy as a performer, but on the same hand, he didn't need the title, you know what I mean?
Right.
To get over, but I think that it would have been, I think he earned the opportunity at least to hold it for a little while. So yeah, he would definitely be at the top of my list, way above Rick Rude, Jake Roberts. I would assume those were some names that you made.
Yeah, Rick Rude, Jake the Snake, Mr. Perfect, Ted DiBiase, all those guys kind of are in that conversation, I think. But yeah, Piper is definitely top three for me in terms of,
I think,
of that.
Mr. Perfect would be way up at the top of that list as well, just mm-hmm. because of his in-ring skills. He was amazing.
Yeah.
Another underutilized talent to some extent with the WWF. He did Intercontinental Champion, which Roddy Piper was the Intercontinental Champion. He did hold that title at least. And mm-hmm. later on, he held the tag titles with Ric Flair. I think when they were both already retired.
Yeah,
they came back and won from the, I think, was it the Spirit Squad?
They beat the Spirit Squad. Yeah, it was like Spirit a Taboo Squad. Tuesday, or it was one of those interactive pay per views where Cyber Sunday, I think, where the fans got to pick the partner and they picked Piper to team with Flair. I think that was the story that was going on.
Yeah, that sounds right. So yeah, I wish he would have gotten an opportunity to hold that title, but like I said, it's almost like the poll that you put up about Randy Savage mm-hmm. and Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
You probably didn't want me to bring this up.
No.
Because I saw your tiebreaker, and because of the anniversary, you gave the nod to the Macho Man, which I understand, which unfortunately neither one of them received a statue. No one did at the last.
Yeah.
Which surprised me. I figured that was going to be an annual thing.
You know what I think my theory on that is, and this is actually why I brought it up. I think they were planning to do the Fabulous Moolah, and they got all the backlash from the trophy and the tournament or the Battle Royal, so they just scrapped the idea completely. That's what I think.
They probably already had it manufactured.
Right.
It was probably costly, and
yes,
they didn't have enough time to replace it. That's a very good point. I think that you're probably right about that. And that was probably going to be out at ringside.
Yeah.
The Women's Battle Royal, much like I think at the first Andre Battle Royal, they may have had his statue up at the top of the ramp or down at ringside by the actual trophy itself. So I think you broke the code there.
that's my theory. I could be wrong, but yeah, you voted and obviously voted for Hot Rod. So, but yeah, go ahead and finish your story. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh no, that's fine. That was it. I was just, I think I explained myself in my comment section thoroughly, you know, in Lane Austin, is a big Roddy Piper. I mean, a big Randy Savage fan. See, I said Roddy Piper because that's who he should actually. So, but, I can see both sides. You know, Randy Savage is a legend. Roddy Piper's a legend, but him being my guy, obviously, I'm always gonna root for him to get the accolades that I feel like he deserved.
Absolutely,
there wouldn't be a Hulk Hogan without Roddy Piper.
I agree with that. And it took some time to realize that. But when you're, you know, a young kid and you're into the machine and you buy into what is coming out at you, you know, the magazines and all that good stuff. But my best friend when we were growing up was like you. He was a huge Hot Rod fan, so we would have some heated arguments about the two. But what is your favorite? Do you probably putting you on the spot somewhat here, but do you have a favorite moment or memory of Hot Rod and his in-ring career?
Well, his in-ring career, I think probably one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania that probably get overlooked. He's Roddy Piper, let's face it, he's not known for his in-ring performances. He wasn't as graceful as the Macho Man. Most of his stuff was brawling and sleeper holds. It was his mic work that got him over. But yeah, that match he had with Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title is a classic.
Yes.
And I may be biased because of my opinion of Roddy Piper, but it's not up there with Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat, obviously. But if anyone goes back and watches that match, the passion that was put into it, the emotion that was put into it, the storytelling, to my knowledge, that was the first time that Roddy Piper had ever had his shoulders pinned to the mat, 1, 2, 3. That's something that a lot of people don't understand, is Roddy Piper went 30-plus years and did not lose a title or did not lose a match by having his shoulders pinned.
Yeah.
He was very protective of his reputation and very picky with, you know, what he was going to do. He never held a title, but he wasn't pinned. And I believe that may be the first time, unless I'm missing, I'm sure.
I think you're right about that. At least in the WWF, it was the first time that he was pinned.
Absolutely. Well, I know his first match was against Mr. Perfect's dad, and it lasted like 10 seconds. And I think Larry Henning broke his nose and said, "Welcome to the business, kid." He was like a 16-year-old kid, probably weighed 180 pounds.
Yeah.
But I would say that was probably my favorite in-ring memory of Roddy Piper. But, you know, outside of the ring, there's so many. Obviously, the snooker, that was a real coconut he hit snook over the head with. Some of his interactions with Andre the Giant, whenever he had Andre on the show and he's like, "Do you speak English?" And you put the mic in front of his mouth and Andre wouldn't say anything. He'd ask him a question, and he wouldn't say anything. And then finally, Andre the Giant, he asked him, he said, "So where are you from?" And Andre the Giant said, "None of your business." And so Roddy, through reading things and watching documentaries, Roddy said that he knew at that point that, you know, everyone was afraid of Andre because he was moody. He could either be your best friend or he could be someone that, you know, he could turn a work into a shoot and there's nothing you could do about it. But he said that Roddy Piper said he had this ongoing joke with Andre backstage where there would be like a water bottle and he'd say, "Andre, is this yours or is this mine?" And Andre would say, "None of your business." And so anytime he'd ask him a question, that was always his answer. So when he knew, once Andre said "none of your business" on his show, he's like, "Okay, here I that's the green light for me to go full Hot Rod and not get hurt in front of a national television audience." So
nice.
That kind of inside stuff is always cool to learn about your heroes. But any Piper's Pit, you know,
yeah,
I can go back and watch those, and they're entertaining, and sometimes he may have crossed the line, but I have a propensity to go too far sometimes myself and not have a filter, so I think that's why he's kind of been a kindred spirit of mine.
Absolutely. So many, you mentioned the coconut, and my very first WWF show was in December 1984. And it was in St. Louis. That's where I grew up. And Piper was on the card and wrestled Junkyard Dog that night and got disqualified. And later in the night, Bob Orton wrestled Jimmy Snuka. And Hot Rod came out. This was still kind of we were transitioning a little bit into that WrestleMania mode, but it was still, you know, it was still Snuka and Piper were still going at it as well.
Did you say 95?
In 1984.
84. Okay. Yeah. I missed it. Cause I was going to, that's when I went to my first show as well. It was in 84. I'll let you finish. I'm sorry.
No.
I'll tell you about my first experience.
So he takes Snuka and does the thing where he drops him, you know, crotch first on the top ropes. And of course, Orton gets disqualified and it's a big schmoz. And
you can see me jumping up and down right
now.
Oh
yeah. Absolutely.
Because that is the same, you know, when they would go on tour, it had to be the same time frame. I believe it was in October.
Okay.
I was at the Cobo Hall in Detroit, Michigan, and Piper wrestled the Junkyard Dog that evening. I'm pretty sure it may have been the Tonga Kid. I just looked this card up the other day, but it was the same thing. The way that he got disqualified is he picked him up and he dropped him over the top rope, crotch first, and there was the big schmoz where then, you know, Snuka came out because Snuka was wrestling someone else. It may have been Cowboy Bob Orton that night.
Yeah.
But you telling that story took me back to my first WWF event, and that's where I bought my first Roddy Piper. They had back in the 80s, you know, the buttons and the pins were the big.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So I had a Roddy Piper pin because they didn't have a t-shirt my size. So I settled for a Sergeant Slaughter Cobra Clutch t-shirt because my dad was a Marine, so he talked me into getting that.
Nice.
But I had to get the Roddy Piper or something, so I got the big Roddy Piper button or pin. And but it's funny. It was the same thing. That was my first experience, and I was like, at least he didn't lose.
That's, you know, true.
I don't know. I don't know if I could have handled, you know, seeing him not win again. But he did get disqualified, but he did it in a way that you would expect from Roddy Piper. So.
Exactly. Now, when did you move to the Southeast Missouri area?
Right before high school. So 87, 88.
Okay.
So I've been here for a long time.
Did you ever go to any shows at the Show Me Center?
Absolutely. Almost every show they had. There were times where I would take my sisters. There was a television taping there. I was actually on television.
Oh, wow.
On Wrestling Challenge at the beginning of one of the shows. I was 16 years old, I believe. I had a Legion of Doom poster. And at the very beginning of Wrestling Challenge, there's, oh, what a rush. And then it shows me in the stands. And then some knucklehead standing next to me realized that the camera was on me. So he was going to help me hold my poster up and actually almost took it away from me and it collapsed and folded. So, but yeah, I was able to actually, my first TV moment was at Cape Girardeau. I've had my 2 seconds of fame at the beginning of a Wrestling Challenge broadcast.
That's awesome. Well, my first show in, cause I went to school at SEMO. And my roommate and I were big wrestling fans. We had, that first semester in December, it was right before finals or something. So it was a nice little break, but the main event was, Ric Flair versus Rowdy Roddy Piper. I didn't know if you were at that show as well.
I was not at that show unless for some reason I don't recall, which would surprise me. I tried to go to every show that there was in the show. I remember seeing Dusty Rhodes against Randy Savage.
Oh, wow.
The Undertaker against Ultimate Warrior. But not remembering that match, I must not have been there. Now I wish I had a time machine.
Yeah.
That would be a match that we definitely want to go back and see.
Yeah. And that one ended too with, I believe Flair ended up getting disqualified that night, but that was when they were doing the Real World's Champion, and he had the tag team title with him, and cause they couldn't do the,
they were pouring out the World Champion on television.
Yeah.
So then he was coming out with the other.
But yeah, that was, you know, I'm trying to think of other instances where I had a chance to see Piper in person. Of course, the last time I saw him wrestle was at WrestleMania 25 in Houston, where he teamed up with Snuka and Steamboat against Chris Jericho.
Right.
And that was, you know, obviously the three legends were, you know, I don't want to say past their prime,
but they weren't,
you know, it wasn't 80s, early 90s Piper, obviously, but anytime getting to see Hot Rod and he, mostly, like you said, when he had the opportunity to be on the mic, it was always something amazing.
Well, if you recall the first Piper's Pit he had, maybe he was the GM at the time, and Stone Cold came out.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I want to welcome you to Piper's Pit. Nice to meet you. And he smacked the hell out of Stone Cold. And Stone Cold said, pleasure's all mine, or something like that. And then he smacked the hell out of Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
So, and then they both were like, okay, we can do this. We're on the same page. I like your style. So it was always entertaining when he was in the ring. And that's, you know, he's always going to be my guy. And, my birthday, it's pretty cool that I have a shared birthday with him, but you know, a lot of times now that he's passed, it's a little bittersweet, and it sounds like, geez, man, you know, this guy needs to get a life, but I didn't have much growing. You know, I went to 15 different schools.
Oh, wow.
Before I was ever in high school, from Detroit to California, back to Detroit, back to California. So a lot like Roddy Piper, he moved around a lot growing up. He didn't have much stability, didn't have much as far as leadership at home. And I think as I got older and saw some of those things, he was someone that realized he was one from none and had to, you know, make his own way in this world. And, you know, I didn't have any roads paved for me. I had to blaze my own trails as well. And that's what Roddy Piper did. And that's the same with, as I mentioned earlier, Henry Rollins and Shepard Fairey. That's the one thing that the three of them have in connection is they DIY'd it. They made, you know, they were Renaissance men and they made their own way. And that's something I can admire. And that's something I've tried to do and instill in my children as well. You know, I come from nothing and I realize that I'm one bad decision away from being right back there. Fortunately, I have a job where I've 20 plus years. I'm a quality manager and a hazard analysis and an auditor for one of the largest food processing companies in the world. And that's, I started off stacking 110 pound bags of rice 12 hours a day.
Wow.
You know, I don't, with all due respect to everyone that has a degree, I understand that I'm an exception to the rule. But those same gentlemen I mentioned earlier, they didn't have a degree. I don't know that Roddy Piper even graduated high school. So
yeah,
I think as I got older, you know, as a kid, I was a fan of Roddy Piper because he was just, you know, I was that guy that wasn't going to root for the good guys. I was always the underdog. Then I got older, I realized how much I had in common, and I respected him as an adult. And then, you know, I saw those similarities, and it made me really, like I said earlier, transition from being a fan of Roddy Piper to really appreciating what Roderick Toombs, who he was and what he went through and who he was as a husband and as a father. And that really meant more to me than the Roddy Piper himself. So.
Well, Barry, that was well said. And I think unless you have another thought or memory or moment you want to share, we'll kind of wrap things up with that.
No, I think I've probably exhausted everyone. You know, they've probably heard all they want to hear about Roddy Piper for now. But feel free to hit me up on my Facebook if you want to talk some more Roddy Piper or anyone out there. But no, Kevin, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's always nice to speak with you. I look forward to seeing you next Saturday.
Absolutely.
And I love talking about Roddy Piper. And thanks for letting me vent and get some of that out there.
Yeah, we learned some new things today for sure. I'm impressed with the Christmas card. Special.
I'll send you a picture of it.
Okay.
I'll send you a picture of it so you can see what he sent me. Yeah, it's my most, this and then the boxing glove probably, but this, since this was personal,
yeah,
this is my most prized collection. And I probably own over 1,000 action figures. I'm sitting in a room right now surrounded by books, action figures, memorabilia. My wife lets me have one little room in the back of the house where I can keep cluttered with all my keepsakes. So, but this Roddy Piper Christmas card, I always know where it's at. I try to put it where I can see it every day.
That's
and
awesome.
Remind myself to hug the ones that I love. And that's everyone else. If they can take anything away from this conversation, you know, life is so short. You never know when your time is going to come. And we've seen so many of these legends, professional wrestling, pass on so early. And so much earlier than expected. Always take the time with your, whether it's your parents, your wife, your children. Telling them how you feel is one thing, but just take the time to hug them and just put your arms around them and let them know. That's, if you can take one thing away from this podcast, it's to, you know, walk away from it knowing that you need to hug the ones you love, because you never know when you're going to get another opportunity to do so.
Well said. Folks, Barry Carafa, Cape Championship Wrestling, thanks for listening. We'll see you at Super Show next weekend.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.